huge congregation, which is fine. We don't need a huge congregation. You're here to hear the word of God, and I'm going to do it intimately with you. So before we get started, I'm just letting you all know that Pastor Lisa is on annual leave at the moment. So she's got 2 weeks off. Elton just loves to hear me preach, so he's here today. No, that's not actually the truth, but I can say it because I've got the mic. Pastor Elton goes away quite a bit for work, so he felt like he wanted to be here, but Lisa is taking a much-needed break at the moment, so remember that. Don't go with her with church issues right now, but otherwise we're praying that she has a restful time away, and thank you to Pastor Elton and for Deanna for being here today. You can't keep Deanna away. She got a lift with us. She's like, I'm coming. But we are in our summer series, so we are right on time. We will be out of here at 11 o'clock. You can count on me to be out of here at 11 o'clock. All right? But we have had some amazing speakers so far. We've had all the pastors in the house. We've had Pastor Elton kick us off. We've had Pastor Paul, and we've had Pastor Lisa speaking on our summer free flow series. So we were given a wide scope to speak about anything that God was speaking to us about, which is amazing because you just know that God's going to do something in that, and they've all aligned really well. Our year is on transformation, and in 2 weeks' time, I think, or 3 weeks' time, we've got Pastor Lisa coming and bringing the word for the church about transformation. So we're excited for that. We're excited for Pastor Michael next week, and then to bring it all together, our intimate worship encounter with my husband here, Peter Burcham. So there is guests here, so I'll introduce myself. I am Sky. I am the local and international missions coordinator. But basically, I do some stuff with the community. We work around missions. We do a lot with House of Hope, which Pastor Michael and Christina are here. So if you haven't got your tickets to the quiz night, it sells out really quickly. Get your tickets. I've got my tickets. I'm going to be beating that table over there. So I guess, chicks, and we're going to get started now because I don't have a lot of time here. But so far, we've heard from these amazing speakers, and we've heard about being chosen and about stepping into that, that being a child of God. We've heard from Pastor Paul speaking about the way that God transforms each and every one of us in a different way according to his will for your life. And then we had Pastor Lisa coming and whooping us again last week about just setting aside your own self, setting aside maybe pride or whatever's getting in your way to truly know who God is, because we can only know who God is ourselves when we know who God is. So my message goes along really well with that. My message today is called Let Go and Let God. And it's about giving that control back to God. So if you like to have control, and you would know because you'd probably butt heads with me because I like to have control. So if you butt heads with me at all, I'm speaking to you. But is anyone... Deanna, pointing to Nonna. Ooh, hello. But it's anyone who maybe likes to take control in life, or without even realizing it, taking that control off God and trying to run things for yourself, because you can't follow Christ and have control. I know that sounds a bit much, but you can't truly follow Christ and follow his plans for your life and have the control. We need to be able to surrender our lives to God without having to control his will for our lives, which is a hard thing sometimes, and sometimes we might not even realize we're doing it. So that's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. As I was kind of preparing this message, I was listening to some podcasts and things like that. I have this one podcast I always like to listen to, and it just happened to be very much in line with what I was speaking of. And it spoke a lot about that self-reliance that we have in ourselves. And we're in a culture now where it's all about manifesting what you want to happen and getting out there and getting things done for yourself. And this self-love, which is all great, but it's wrapped up in this nice little package of like self-love, taking care of yourself. But then you start to realize it's all about yourself. It's all about you doing things for you and not worrying about anyone else. And that's the kind of culture that we're in at the moment, which can be in quite conflict with what God says to us about God's transformational love. So why don't we just pray for this message this morning? God, thank you that we can come together and just hear your word, Lord. We thank you that we can be here this morning, God, and that no matter how we've walked in this morning, that you can speak to us, God. And so I just pray for that transformation. Lord, I pray for this word. I pray for your word over this church for this year, God. And I pray for each and every person that we would receive what it is that you want to speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking through the Bible, there are so many examples you could use about people wanting to take control or people wanting to do things on their own without God. So it was really easy to find something, but really hard to narrow it down. But being that it is the summer series and we're keeping things short, sharp and simple, which I like to do anyway, I found a story that is so well known and so easy, and we should all know it. And it's about Peter walking on water. And so we're in Matthew 14. So this is the point where Jesus has sent the disciples away on the boat. He said, you guys go off, I'll see you a bit later on. And so they're on the boat and then a storm comes and they start freaking out. They're like, oh, a storm's coming. And then we go to the part where Jesus is walking on water towards them. And they assume it's a ghost, because he's walking on water. And then in 27 it says, but Jesus spoke to them at once and said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage, I am here. 28, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. So he's like, if Jesus can do it, I want to be a part of that. I want to get on there and walk on that water. And so he says, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Now this is the kind of faith and trust that we all want to have. The kind of trust in his plans that we're like, yep, we'll jump off that boat and we'll walk on that water. That's the kind of faith that I would like to have in Jesus' plans for us. And this is what we're striving for each and every day. But obviously it's not always the way things go. And when I was thinking about my need for control sometimes in my life, I was thinking about the times that I felt like I needed control and maybe the times that I didn't. And what I realized is that sometimes in those bigger, heavier moments, it is sometimes, well, it is definitely comforting to hand over that control to God. And in those moments, we think about doing it. We're like, okay, God, I need you in this situation. I need you to guide me. I need your peace, your comfort. And so we can hand that over. Just a week and a half ago, Pete's grandma passed away, and she was 98 years old, Christian lady, like lived a very full, good life, like a billion grandchildren and great-grandchildren that all were by her side singing to her. It was beautiful. If you want to go, that's the way you want to go. And so in those situations, you're like, yeah, I can trust God in this. I can trust his plans. She's 98 years old. She lived an amazing life, left amazing stories, an amazing legacy. So yeah, I can give control over to God. And even in the moments that I guess have been more tragic in our life, or there's been more grief and whatever else that may look like, in those situations as well, I'm like, I need you, God. I need you to direct me in these moments. But then when it comes to maybe everyday life or things that you think you're doing in God's will, and then you kind of realize at some point you've maybe stepped out of that. So for me, so I've just finished uni, just got my degree. I'm officially a teacher. I start on Tuesday. So I actually haven't graduated yet. I graduate in a couple of weeks, but I'm official. But when this journey started, so it was back in 2020, Patricia actually started before me in 2020, she started on COVID year. But in 2020, I started to think about going back to uni, but it was a big decision to make at the time. It's been well over 10 years since I had to write any kind of assignment or anything like that. We've got kids. At that stage, we had, Harry was only 1 year old when we were thinking about it. Summer would then be a 3-year-old. So it was a big deal, and it was a four-year commitment of maybe not working in that time as well, depending on how I was juggling things. So it wasn't a decision that we made lightly. It was a year of praying about it, seeking God. And it was also because we were letting go of something else, because at that time I was working for the church. And when I started working for the church, a good 6 or 7 years before that, I thought that that was kind of what I was going to do. I was going to work for the church and that was going to grow, and it was different pastors at the time. But then that changed, and because God changed that. And so it was grieving something that was and looking at something that maybe God wanted me to step into. So we did prayerfully go into that decision, and it took a year. And it was a good timing as well, because I didn't want to start in COVID. And 2020 turned out to be a rough year in our family anyway. So it was good when I started. And so when I started uni, I went in fully like giving glory to God in everything that I did. And so it's really nice to be in that place where you're doing something and you know that this is what God had planned for you, and you start to really give glory to God. And I did well. I got good grades, and I really gave that glory to God for maybe the first 3 years. And then without me even realizing it, something changed. And as we were going through worship, I kind of like was getting more about maybe what had changed that. There was definitely pride had taken over. I started to really reflect those good grades and took them on, and I was like, ooh, look at me, I'm so good, and let's keep this record unblemished. And I really strived to make sure that all my grades were good, and it became more about myself and the way it looked and all the rest of it, rather than giving that glory to God. And also in my third year, we lost Pete's dad, which hit me very hard, obviously, because it's Pete's dad. And he was the only dad that I ever had. And me and him had a really close relationship. And it was something that I really wanted, was for him to see me graduate. So that happened. And look, God got us through that really well. But I don't think I ever connected that to my last year until kind of this moment. So I got to my last year, and like I said, it became more self-centered. It became more about, okay, I can do this on my own kind of thing. And even when his dad passed, I got one of the highest grades in my assignment between him passing and the funeral, because I just focused on, okay, get the job done. This is what I need to do, because it became about that. And I think that didn't stop in that final year. And so fast forward to like the last semester just gone, so the end of 2024 is my final prac, my big one, my 10-week prac, and I had definitely left God behind in this journey. It's not like I'd left, you all saw me, I was at church, I was still, you know, in relationship with God, but I definitely left him behind in this journey, and I had completely taken control of my studies, my career, all the rest of it. And I took pride in what I was doing, but not in a good prideful way, like in a bad prideful way. And so on my final prac, again, outwardly, I still did well. But inwardly, I was in turmoil. Pete's probably one of the only people that can account for this. I was coming home in tears. I had so much doubt about myself. I was like, I'm not good enough for this. Like, these people don't like me. They do. I got a job there. And they would tell me, like, we want you here. We want you working here. So they were telling me these things, but I was still like, nah, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to pass, all the rest of it. I got a good grade for my final prac, and then I had to do my final assessment, which is like your big assessment. I'm already going through these things of, like, self-doubt and all these things, which didn't match up to what was happening around me, but you couldn't talk me out of it. And so final assessment, massive, massive assessment, like pages and pages and pages long. And it's like a pass or fail. Like, you pass your degree or you fail, riding on this one assignment, which is ridiculous. But anyway, so I hand this in and I was just like, I failed. I had 100%, only 2% of people fail. mind you, and I had 100% convinced myself that I had failed. And it made no sense, and people told me it makes no sense, but you couldn't tell me otherwise, because I'd gotten myself into such a spiral of self-doubt. And then Pastor Lisa, because Pastor Lisa always knows when something's going on, she's like a mind reader. She prays a lot. I think that's probably where it's coming from. But she messaged me, and because I didn't talk to a lot, I've talked to a few close friends, but not to the extent of what was going on inside and how I was feeling and all the rest of it. But she messaged me and just said, "How are you? You've been on my mind, of course." And I said to her, "I'm struggling. Don't know why." And I didn't say more than that. I just said, "I'm struggling," which for me is a big thing, because usually I'm like, "I'm fine. That's just who I am." But I'm like, "I'm struggling." And she sent this long message of like encouragement and all the rest of it, which was lovely. But the thing that kind of grabbed me, and this is where God just came in and broke me. She said, "No, this was his before you even started." And that's when I was just like, "Oh God, sorry." And I just came to him and I just burst out crying. I didn't say anything to Lisa at the time. I just loved the message. But I was just like, that was God just saying to me, "This was mine and you've taken this from me and you've made it about yourself and you've relied on yourself so much that you've gotten yourself into knots." Like I've never been a stressed out, anxious person. I felt physically sick and I couldn't not feel sick. Like for weeks this went on, like feeling physically sick over something that was just made up in my brain. But it's because I tried to take control of something that was his to begin with. He said that this is what you're doing. I prayed and I went into this knowing that this was what God had led me to. But I had taken that and made it myself and made it about myself. And I didn't rely on God in it anymore. I became self-reliant and tried to do it all myself. And we see this if we continue on in Matthew 14. And it says, "But when he saw," this is about Peter, walking on water, "when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and begun to sink. And he said, 'Save me, Lord,'" which is the situation I'd gotten myself in. And I know that it's like, it's just grades and all, but it was the stuff that was going on inside me in that moment where I'd gotten myself into such turmoil that I started to sink and I needed to come back to the feet of Jesus and go, "Save me, Lord, save me," which is what we find ourselves in all the time. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and he says, "You have so little faith." Jesus said, "Why did you doubt me?" And I think this is something that we all have to come to the realization of sometimes. We can get so far on our own little journey that God's like, "Why didn't you trust me? Why did you have so little faith?" And it's hard to swallow. You know, I've been a Christian 18 plus years, but we all go through it. We all get out of alignment with God. We all take control of something we don't even realize we're doing. And God's like, "Why didn't you trust me for the plans that I had for you? Why didn't you trust me in this?" And so my question for you is, what is it that God is saying you need to let go of? Now, it might be a similar situation to mine where he's not saying let go of the degree. I'd already done the degree. I've passed, by the way, spoiler. It might be something like, you just need to let go of control because that's mine. It was mine to begin with and I want it back. Or it might be something that he's saying, that's gone. I had to let go of working for the church for a time. Doesn't mean it won't come back around, but I had to let go of that season to go into the next season. So God's asking us today, what is it that we need to let go of? Because many of us are not going to get what we need from God this season until we let go of what we've held on to in the previous season. So is there something in your life that God's saying you need to set that aside now? Is there a dream that maybe you had that God's saying you need to let go of? Maybe you need to let go of what you thought it was supposed to look like. Because so many times we think that something's supposed to look a certain way, I thought that I would have Pete's dad cheering me on at my graduation. But I needed to let go of that because he's happy. He's in heaven. He's good. So what's something that maybe you needed to let go of that you thought was supposed to look a certain way but doesn't? Maybe you need to let go of comparison to other standards that have nothing to do with God. Like when I was striving to get these grades, which is great because you want to do your best, but for the wrong reasons. Or are there other comparisons, maybe to people? We have it every day of our lives on our phones, comparison to what other people are doing, but that's got nothing to do with what God wants for your life. Maybe you need to let go of the expectations of perfection that you have for yourself, because that need for perfection can only be satisfied through Jesus. We need to surrender who we thought we were supposed to be and receive who we really are in Christ. You know, sometimes letting go of different things can feel like a death. Letting go of that dream, letting go of maybe that job that you thought you wanted, letting go of that plan that you had but maybe he didn't, feels like a death, but it can be a blessing. Might get the band up. This isn't over. We're still going. Just as they come up, 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So even though we don't like it, when we're struggling, that's when his power is made perfect. That's the grace of being able to let go, because God's grace fills the gaps when we let go of our self-reliance. Letting go allows us to receive his strength. Letting go allows us to receive his plans. And most importantly, when we let go of ourselves, we receive his identity. Because the only way to know who we are in Christ is to know who he is. And so we have to let go of our self-reliance. We have to let go of what we thought we were supposed to look like. We have to let go of comparing ourselves to how other people are doing in life. Because as Pastor Paul spoke about with the origami, each and every one of us are molded different. Each and every one of us have plans that are molded different. And we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with the plans that he has for each and every one of us. This one we all know, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, and they aren't for bad. He plans for us to prosper. He knows the plans he has for you." So why don't we just stand to our feet this morning? And I just want to encourage you, if there's anyone here that goes, you know, maybe I've stepped out of alignment in what I thought God had for me, or maybe I'm trying to do this thing that I know is from God, but I've taken the reins and I'm trying to do this on my own, but you say, "I just want to give that back to God. I'm feeling this stuff inside of me that's not of him, and I need to release that and give that back to God." Why don't you just spend this time just praying for that? And I just want to pray, because at the end of this verse where God says, "You had so little faith, why didn't you trust me?" It says that the disciples truly knew that it was Jesus, if they didn't before that, and they worshipped him. And so why don't we just take this moment just to worship our God this morning, to worship the King of Kings, and hand over our whole self. This song is about being that living sacrifice, and that's all he wants from us. He doesn't want us to be perfect. He doesn't want us to be self-reliant. He just wants us to sacrifice and surrender our whole self to him. So why don't we just do that as we pray this morning? God, we just want to be your living sacrifice this morning, Lord. We want to let go and let you take the reins in our lives, Lord. God, so I just pray this morning, God, that any person in here who needs to set something aside, who needs to let go of something or hand it back to you, God, I pray for that release right now. I pray for that surrender right now, God. And we just come to you in worship and in praise and say, we're here, God, to be that living sacrifice to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And all on the altar, surrender again. And freely I lay down my everything. And this is my honor, the gift that I bring. 'Cause I will be your living sacrifice, all my heart and soul to glory.
Awesome message from Sky. As you go into your week, I just pray that you will think about the things that maybe you're trying to grab hold of that God wants you to let go. Otherwise, you are welcome to hang around for a little chat afterwards, but we are going to dismiss the service. So I just pray that you go into a safe week, and we'll see you back here next week.